right. Before we keep going on here, do you guys mind if I jump in with some red binder questions for you?
Yeah. You know, Gary, I always feel like this is Carol's chance for like a Mensa. We're going to Mensa test dad.
Hey, I haven't stumped you yet.
Oh, man.
It's like you're on Jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Fire away. Start easy and get hard.
All right. Well, we have lots of topics to cover today, and I can tell you for a fact that you always have a helpful answer for our homeowners. So okay. Let's start off with Mr. Robert, who recently inherited a home that has some problems that he would like to fix himself. I have a picture here of a stucco wall with some cracks in it, and he's wondering what the best way is to repair this and most a cost-effective way to get this back to its former glory.
Well, it certainly doesn't look like any structural cracking at all. We've got that horizontal crack down low by the ground. It's a moisture crack. Robert, what you'd want to do is break off any of the stucco that continues to be loose, get it back down to the base coat, the brown coat, or the stem wall, whichever you could get down to where it's not peeling off anymore. Then you're going to get a small container of liquid concrete bonder. Looks like, smells like, acts like, tastes like Elmer's glue. You roll that onto the area and you allow it to dry until it's just tacky. Then you get to the hardware store and you buy yourself a product called Custom Stone Repair. It's a powder you mix with water. You trowel it on over the area that's cracked, and that's going to be your best repair possible. Once that dries, then you'll take a little elastomeric caulk in where the old joint and the new joint go. Use a textured elastomeric caulk. Once I caulk it in with elastomeric textured caulk, I take a wet sponge and I just daub it so it kind of camouflages the crack real good. Let that dry and then paint, and that'll be about as good a do-it-yourself home repair as you'll be able to accomplish. It's doable. With a little practice, you could almost make it invisible, but that takes a little practice.
And now you took less than a 10-second peek at that photo. What makes you say it's not a structural issue? What tells you from that photo that it's not?
Because it's so random and moving horizontally. Structurally, it's either going to be angling off of a window or following a stud or an inside or outside corner vertically.
Wonderful. Well, I hope, Mr. Robert, that's helpful and you're able to get to the store this weekend and knock out that project. I've got a fairly easy one, I think.
I love it.
Miss Linda has a problem with the smell coming from the drains in her shower. She's tried every homemade concoction she can think of, but that smell is still just as persistent as ever. Any thoughts?
Oh, boy, that can be really, really tough. I'm going to challenge Miss Linda as to does she really know it's coming from the shower? If it is, I'd like to know the age of the shower. There's a chance, given an older shower, the vinyl pan or the universal drain right there that takes the water from the tile floor into the drain, has deteriorated to the point where moisture is actually getting in underneath the tile floor. If the floor feels the least bit squishy underfoot, that's probably what's wrong. If, in fact, we can prove that the vinyl pan is still good, the water isn't leaking underneath the floor, and the odors are truly coming from the vent, from the drain, then we're going to have to do a lot more digging, because as soon as that drain goes underground, it goes into a P-trap. So that P-trap in a shower is always full. So no odor is coming back through the sewer system up out of that shower floor drain. Chances are it's more of a problem with the drain itself and the shower pan itself. Again, Robert sent a picture of the stucco crack. If Linda could send us a picture of that shower crack, I could take a look and guess the age of the unit, what the material is that's on the floor, and help her maybe just a little bit more.
In terms of products, is there anything that you would suggest sticking down there initially as a do-it-yourselfer, because she did say she'd made her own concoctions? Is there, think, you know, there's things like Drano, BioClean, or any of those things. Is any of those safe to put down there? Or would you stray away from that?
I would stay away from that. It's draining isn't the problem. So none of those products are going to eliminate the odor. So Let's find out where the odor is emanating from. It's not sewer gas. I can all but almost guarantee that. It's something with the shower floor, shower drain.
Another option is you can call Sweet Jen and ask her to stick her nose down there. She's got the nose like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
She's very good at targeting smells, so you might want to call her and see if that's an option. She probably charges a fee, but alrighty. So the next one I think is on the same level of easiness, and that's the last one's going to be a little, the hardest, all right?
Okay.
Next one is Miss Kathy. She has a home built in 1985. She's in the process of changing her switch plate covers from cream to white. My question is, can I paint the switch? I purchased all new switches in the color white, but was advised by someone that they did not think this was a good idea to change out every switch in the old house. My question is it okay to paint the actual switch without disconnecting it and turning off the electricity?
What was her name?
Kathy.
Miss Kathy, I would advise against what you were told. I would not paint all the switches. I would, in fact, identify your circuits, make sure the power's turned off, and I would go ahead and replace all the switches. Painting the switches is going to lead to a long-term problem. You don't want any of the paint to get inside the junction box to cover any of the conductors or any parts of the switch. I'm going to advise completely against what she's been told. Go ahead and don't just replace the cover plates. Replace the receptacles, the switches, and the devices with the white.
All right.
Now, with that said, I will tell you, in backsplashes where we have receptacles in a kitchen that are buried in stone and the homeowners want those to disappear, you can faux finish and you can paint them, but that's not something I would do to every single switch in the house. There's a big difference there.
Okay. Alrighty, I'm going to start this next question off with a question for you, a trivia question. Of all the things that people are trying to tackle in their homes right now themselves, as a kind of a trend we've been seeing since quarantine hit, what do you think is the number one project that I've seen DIY questions on in people's own homes?
That are coming into you at the Info Rosie?
Mm-hmm.
The number one inquiry from the quarantined COVID chaos mess has to be, workspace?
Oh, that's a good guess.
Where do I create a workspace? A getaway space? A quiet space?
It's a good guess. Kind of on the same theme, I guess you could call it your workspace. I'm going to give you a hint. It's in the bathroom.
How do I put a bigger lock on the door?
Nope. It's actually, how do I convert my walk-in shower? So that's a big one that people have been trying to tackle themselves. Any advice for that one?
Oh, boy.
Sounds like a big deal.
That's a significant do-it-yourself project. Because the next question I have to ask that homeowner is if you're going to convert your tub to a walk-in shower. If you want that shower to be a barrier-free entrance where there's no curb, so at the point you would want to wheel a wheelchair into that shower, you could. You're going to be saw cutting the floor. You're going to be excavating down to this P-trap below the tub drain. You're going to be reestablishing a new location for that drain. You're going to be backfilling the hole with ABC. You're going to be termite pre-treating the area prior to pouring concrete. You're going to be drilling into your concrete slab to set in anchor rebar pins. You're going to be backfilling the floor below the finished floor grade to leave room for the tile so everything finishes up flush. Then you've got to know how to waterproof the bottom of the pan as well as the walls of the shower. That is an aggressive do-it-yourself project. You could probably oversee it being done yourself without a general contractor if you had a concrete cutter, and that concrete cutter would have to know whether or not your house is a post-tension slab or not. If it's a post-tension slab, I would say definitely never try it as a homeowner yourself. That takes even more sophistication, expensive equipment, experience, and know-how. That's a tough do-it-yourself job.
And I think, too, for an example of how hard it is, I was in a wedding last week, and as you know, that's why I was absent from the show, but we were staying in the bridal suite, and the bathroom had been converted to once a tub to now a shower, but they had not corrected the rest of the structural piping. So the father of the bride, who's also a plumber, walked in, and it was like, this is the worst I've ever seen, because it was just a flat shower that the floor dive down with no drain at the bottom of it. So all the water just pooled at the bottom, so we had to find another place for the wedding dress. So
oh,
if a five-star
goodness.
Hotel in Scottsdale, Arizona cannot figure it out, maybe this is something to hire someone for.
That's it. It is. It has a lot of moving pieces, mm-hmm. and it takes a lot of experience to put in a sunken, barrier-free shower that's trouble-free for 50 years.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you so much for your time. It's always helpful for me to get these answers out. If you're ever interested in looking at more of DIY resources, you can go to our YouTube channel, which has a number of Rosie's 3-minute DIY tips. Did you see the numbers on those this week? Those are really soaring up.
I did not. I didn't.
We gained like 1,000 new subscribers in the last, you know, few months that we've really been paying attention to our YouTube. And it's exciting. We're going to be coming out with some new videos here pretty soon. So keep in mind for that. But you have to be subscribed. So, again, Rosie on the House YouTube for DIY.
I was hoping you were going to ask me the question about the antique bookstore.
Oh, did you want to cover that real quick? Absolutely.
That was the one question I was given a tip I might be asked. The rest of these were all surprises.
All righty. Well, Mr. Matthew wrote in and he said, Rosie, I'm a longtime listener and love your show. A while back, I heard you talking about Book Gallery and I am in love. He actually even went in and told the owner of the bookstore that he was sent there by Rosie. The owner now would like to meet you, is very thankful that you mentioned the show. But you are in a little bit of trouble. The wife, not a huge fan that you've given her husband a place to fuel and feed his addiction.
Yeah. It's antique and historical books. Go in with a copy of your deed, a second mortgage, and shop to your heart's delight. It's a fabulous place to shop for great, some out-of-print historical books you can't find anywhere else.